Good morning. Welcome to the program. Hi, I'm Dr. Morgan. Something's changed with the outgoing message, and I'm just not mentally prepared for that. But that's okay. We're going. Everything's good. Yeah, I find that very interesting that the gentleman on the radio just mentioned that in the United States, where that's where I'm coming from, that people may not be that impressed with the Word of God. It could just sit on their shelf and collect dust. Well, there's other things they're not impressed with also. That's probably the primary starting place. But you could literally tell a person how to get well, and they can look at you like with a deer in the headlight looks and think, well, my doctor didn't say anything about that being beneficial to me. Let me read this to you right here. It comes from The Food That Makes Alzheimer's Worse by Frank Schallenberger, M.D. Studies have shown that sugar and high carbohydrate foods cause increases in blood sugar, which in turn increases the risk of dementia. This is particularly true of the risk of dementia due to Alzheimer's disease. Because of this connection, researchers began to study how blood sugar contributes to the development of Alzheimer's disease. They examined a group of mice that were genetically prone to Alzheimer's, and then they fed them enough high carbohydrate foods to raise blood sugar levels. They then measured levels of amyloid plaque, which is a substance that contributes to destruction of brain cells, and blood sugar in the hippocampus region of their brains, the region that controls memory. The amount of amyloid plaque that developed in the hippocampus of these mice directly increased as their blood sugar levels increased. Maybe I should say that normal blood sugar is probably going to be somewhere between 70 and 80. When blood sugar levels hit 89 or above, it's very hard for a person to lose weight or to restore their health. Yes, technically, when it gets up to 126 now? That would be diabetes. But I would imagine that any physician would tell you that if your blood sugar is hitting 99 or 100, that you're, quote, pre-diabetic. I can't even say pre-diabetic. Okay. The amount of amyloid plaque that developed in the hippocampus of these mice directly increased as their blood sugar levels increased. The effect was even greater in older mice that had already showed early signs of Alzheimer's. In the real world, what does that mean? If your memory's not so hot, maybe sugar is something that you shouldn't be eating. Unless you love spending your life savings on healthcare costs or disease treatment. Yeah, that's a good way of saying it. If that gives you great pleasure, having three different doctor visits every day the rest of your life and checking out the different nursing homes, then yeah, sugar's probably what you want to do if you want to blow through your life savings as quickly as possible. Because we know that healthcare costs are the most expensive part of living here in the United States. As a matter of fact, you'll spend more money on healthcare than you did on your home mortgage. It's been proven over and over again. The effect was even greater in the older mice that already showed early signs of Alzheimer's, indicating that high carbohydrate meals not only contribute to Alzheimer's, they also worsen the disease. Eating foods high in carbohydrates increases the likelihood of developing Alzheimer's later in life. Foods high in carbohydrates, such as grains and sugars, cause a significant rise in blood sugar levels. Decreasing high carbohydrate intake will decrease risk of weight gain, diabetes and heart disease, and the progression of Alzheimer's. Well, what if you say that none of this applies to me? I don't have Alzheimer's disease. My mind is as sharp as it has ever been. I don't have that issue. There's no Alzheimer's in my family. Nobody has dementia. We have perfect brain function. Well, I'm going to say good for you. Can you buy into the idea that everybody has their own unique strengths and their own unique weaknesses? Yeah, it's true. If you've never heard this program before, which is called Health Essentials, if I haven't introduced myself, forgive me. My name is Dr. Roy Morgan. It's very, very good to be with you today. You're probably not out pulling weeds in the garden right now, Judy. You're probably in the house because there may be rain where you live. What if you could improve yourself by doing one thing? Sometimes I'm tempted to say, what's the number one cause of cancer? Well, I want to say sugar. When I say sugar, I'm not referring to the sugar that's found in an apple or a blueberry or a strawberry. No. Beautiful little raspberries, I think they're just gorgeous. That's not the type of sugar I'm talking about. I'm talking about man sugar. Highly refined. Sure, I think gasoline is great when it runs in a car, but not to make high fructose corn syrup or to get fructose out of corn. That is not right. But what if brain weakness is not your deal? What if you've been to a doctor and the doctor says, well, we've diagnosed you with a fatty liver. Sometimes it's called NASH. Let me think, what does NASH stand for? Non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. So you got a bunch of fat in your inflamed liver. In the real world, sometimes people go to the bathroom and their bowel movement floats near the surface. Well, that can be because they're not digesting fat properly because the liver is so inflamed. Of course, one of the things that's recommended is just powerful drugs. I kind of think they fail miserably because, number one, they don't address the root cause of the problem. Maybe what I could suggest is, prior to 1950, if somebody had NASH or if they had hepatitis or a fatty liver, it was almost always caused by drinking alcohol. I really don't know a lot about alcohol, but I'm pretty sure if you drink a pint of whiskey a day, you're going to be headed to some major, major catastrophic problems with your liver. It's not good for your liver to be so full of fat, it can't work properly. How would you like your kidneys to be clogged up with kidney stones? Well, they don't work right. How would you like to have a colon full of polyps, diverticuline infection? It doesn't work the way it should. How would you like your heart to be filled with calcium, rock-hard plaque, and gunk where it can't work right? No. How would you like your lung full of infection where there's like a liter and a half of green goo inside of your lung? Well, you can't breathe. You want your brain to be full of plaque? No. Well, let's go back to the liver just for a second. I'm not so sure. And the more that I study this, I think it's just very, very easy to make correlations between the development of a disease and how quickly a person... Well, you're not going to heal if you don't have education. Wouldn't it serve you well to learn what you can do, what's causing your problem? So let's just say, for example, that you have a condition called NASH, non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. So the liver's inflamed. That's just a fancy term for you've got a big-time fatty liver. And fatty livers were very, very uncommon prior to 1950, except for alcoholics. This is a side note. Sometimes I think alcoholics are extremely brilliant people. Anyway, I'm not sure that means anything, but that's what I'm saying. What if your doctor has told you that you have a fatty liver? Well, you know, one of the observations that I can make over and over and over again, and I'm going to say it in reverse first. When the liver is not fatty, that's when I see normal cholesterol. When the liver's fatty, that's when I see cholesterol very elevated and very high. Now, I don't really freak out about cholesterol. I just think, what can we do to improve the human being's situation without killing them prematurely with drugs or a procedure that you don't need? Let me give you a little tidbit of information here. The rate of heart disease has dropped by 46.9% in Great Britain over the last 10 years. Can I just round that up and say there's been a 50% less disease? Well, that's phenomenal. And initially, all the physicians said, wow, look at the job of Lipitor and Crestor and Zocor and Januvia and blood pressure medications and all these different drugs for the heart. It didn't have anything to do with it. It's because men in Great Britain started imitating their southern neighbors in France. Well, across the water, I guess. That would be still a neighbor. But they started drinking red wine. Isn't that interesting? Red wine beat all the drugs and medications and procedures out of the water. And isn't wine, doesn't that come from a grape? Well, who designed the grape? Well, you know the answer to that. So we've been told that fat and cholesterol are bad, therefore we tell people to avoid eggs like the plague. What did the woman tell me yesterday that I was excited about? She said she eats yard eggs. She told me she had 2 eggs for breakfast. I think she said scrambled. No, I forgot to ask her what they were scrambled in, but I bet you anything it was either butter or coconut oil. I'm just saying fat. If she said she used grease from bacon, I wouldn't complain with that. Do you really think eggs are evil and toxic? You know, the good news is, if you're eating eggs and she said she had 1 piece of uncured bacon, maybe I could suggest that uncured bacon might be a source of fat. Because if you're eating fat, well, then you're going to be more satisfied. But without fat, you're going to be craving carbohydrates. Who wants to have an out-of-control craving for carbohydrates? There's your cause of fatty liver right there. It's as simple as that. You're eating too many sweets and carbohydrates and refined grains and refined sugars. Or worse yet, if you're drinking lots of soda waters that are filled with high fructose corn syrup. That's the facts right there. Maybe if I, let me put that thought on hold for a second. Let's go back to cholesterol just for a second. Your body makes cholesterol for a lot of things, and one of the things that cholesterol is for is to scoop up poison. It's like a big honking sponge that soaks up poisons, and that protects you from disease. So if your cholesterol is elevated, this is your body's way of trying to right the ship or save you from damage. Okay? You don't believe that? Well, then do whatever you want to do with it. But I'm going to say simply an easy observation for me to make day in and day out. If somebody's cholesterol is a bit elevated, usually I can push into their liver and I can listen to them scream or grab my fingers and try to break them off from the tender area. I'm just joking, but that happens so routinely. If I press in the liver, and I try to do it gently, and they grab my fingers, that's their way of saying, that does not feel good, that hurts. Well, bingo, they have inflammation of the liver. Back to eggs for a second. You know one thing that eggs have? They have that B vitamin-like compound called choline. I tried to convince a lady the other day to eat egg yolks. She's sick. She's been in the hospital. Eat egg yolks. I said, have your 13-year-old daughter, maybe it's 14, anyway, have your daughter go poach some eggs for you. Or fry eggs lightly and make the yolk a little bit liquidy. You need choline. If you want to clean and repair the liver, you've got to have choline to do it. And if you're on the typical standard low-fat American diet, well, if you're not eating fat from eggs, you're eating sugar. It's just as simple as that. Your body needs fuel. The last time I checked, every human being that lives on Earth, they've got to have food for nourishment. That's the way that God has designed us. And if you don't eat eggs that are rich in choline in the yolks of the eggs, well, what are you going to eat for breakfast? Well, the very thing that I saw a while ago. I drove over to my office. I listened to 5 different phone messages from yesterday evening. That's always when everybody calls after I've left, after 5 o'clock on Friday. That's when I get a high volume of phone calls. I always think that's so comical and humorous. I've been gone for a while now. Now that's when they want to call. But at least they're thinking about their health, right? Good. It's good that they're calling me. They want to improve themselves. Why do people listen to this program? Because they want to be better. So if you're not eating eggs for breakfast, what are you eating? Well, you're eating bear claws and honey buns, chocolate-covered donuts, Coca-Cola, Pepsi. Anyway, I know, because I could see them go in and out. They come out with the same things. It's not 2 fried eggs and uncured bacon. Does this make sense? If you have a fatty liver, then come to terms with it's because you've had a lifetime of overconsumption of carbohydrates. And the type of fat that's going to infiltrate your liver is going to be the type of fat that comes from one source, from carbohydrates. Oh yes, you could eat the typical American diet, and what is that? Let me start over here. This might be changing the topic just slightly, but recently there was a study where they compared all the different diets for those that have diabetes. Do diabetes have a higher occurrence of fatty liver? My word, yes. They have everything. They have the most cancer. They have the most heart disease. They have by far and away the poorest rates of healing. I know this is free information, but I always think if somebody has diabetes, they're very deficient in vitamin C. Do drugs cause deficiencies of vitamin C? Let me think. Aspirin does. You ever had a physician say, maybe we should put you on a baby aspirin? Well, you probably have a chronic vitamin C deficiency. You talk about the potential of a human being to heal. If I knew that I was going to have a surgical procedure to, correct something, I'm not against surgery. Surgery has saved a lot of lives, and it's very, very important. But sometimes people have a knee that can become extremely worn out, and they have no other option but to accept the blessings of a knee replacement or, fill in the blank. They might have a diseased kidney removed, something like that, or a polyp in the colon that needs to come out. Well, I'm glad we have surgery, but your body is going to go through your reserves of nutrition that you hold in reserve, and part of that's vitamin C. You know, if you have a surgical procedure, you're going to need healing energy and power from your body. So every one of us is going to face a crisis at some point. It just depends on how much energy you're holding in reserve to respond to that crisis. Well, aspirin kills vitamin C. I always think that anybody that's on aspirin, they need some vitamin C. Anybody that's a diabetic, boy, do they need vitamin C. In this study, they tested the American Heart Association for diabetics. Didn't work so well. Didn't reverse the disease. There was no rejuvenation. There was no healing. There was no repair. Then they tried the American Diabetic Association diet. No, same, yeah. Yeah, it's just a recipe for more, carbohydrates and grains and low-fat diet. Completely worthless. Just about has no value. Can't even believe they still recommend it, but they do. Do you know which diet beat all the other ones? It was individuals that they designed their own diet. They ate a late breakfast and an early supper. That was it. For breakfast, usually they had eggs and bacon, or they made an omelet. Or if they had a bowl of oatmeal, they used coconut oil and butter, which is what I would do if I were making it. And they had a higher fat. Now, when I say high fat, that's just me trying to give you an idea to think about. Avocados aren't bad, but they're high in fat. Olive oil is not bad, but it's mainly fat. I just want to give you the idea. I don't want you over-consuming fat. Drinking a quart of olive oil a day is probably not what I'm going to recommend to the average person. Maybe if you're crazy, I might. I'm just joking about that. But it's just the idea. You need to have adequate fat. And one of the unique substances that you find in the yolks of eggs, which are rich in fat, I just think it's nuts for people to order an egg white omelet. You can't digest the protein. I know you're worshiping your body. You're spending 8 hours in the gym every day. Great. What have we accomplished? Your body's going to start breaking down at some point. You're going to have one injury after the other. Yes, maybe it's because you're bench pressing 350 pounds 25 times. I don't know. But you've got to have fat to absorb all the nutrients and the protein that's found in the egg. You don't really want one without the other. I would say eat the whole egg. Oh, wait a second. That would go back and that would be like probably God's design from the beginning, right? Nothing wrong with that. But egg yolks contain choline. You want to have a fatty liver? Eat a low choline diet. If your diet is providing you generous amounts of sugar, which it is, and you have a fatty liver, then I only have one assumption. You're eating too much sugar, and your diet is not enough fat that contains choline. Simple as that. And that can be reversed so easily. Anyway, If you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open at 903-586-5257. But first, let me make a comment here. One of the aspects of my job is I get to hear a lot of different information from a lot of different people, and I like that stuff. I'm kind of an information junkie. I want to know how things work. I want to understand God's creation. Why does the liver become fatty? Well, I just told you, because too much sugar, not enough choline. But some people, they don't have the very best childhood of all time. And you know what? There's a lot of people, I really do, I feel very badly for their situation when I hear them describe what their childhood was like. There's been a couple times that I've been moved to tears where I just thought, this is overwhelming. I can't believe this is the way it was. But it is. I can't change it. I wish I could. But that wasn't my situation. I had a great childhood. I think I just about have had the best mother of all time. She wasn't overly hard on me. She wasn't domineering. She probably let me play with more things than anybody else would. I got to get dirty. I get to dig through all sorts of junk. That used to be one of my favorite things of all time, is going to the city dump or where they dump and just digging through and finding junk that I like to play with and take apart and experiment with. But that was good, though. We didn't have, computers to entertain ourselves. But my mother was a very, very good mother. I had a great childhood. And she's probably the one that's probably got me in this situation, because she's probably the original health nut. Still is. But today, she is 88 years old. So happy birthday. Oh, yes, there was a few embarrassing moments, like when she came to pick me up at school. I won't tell you the rest of it. She knows what I'm talking about, though. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Yeah, good. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Excellent. I like the sound of your voice.
You know, I kind of like it, too.
Excellent.
I have a few questions for you. I would like to know, I just came out of a medical procedure where my heart stopped. I flatlined. I had a heart attack, and it took a while to recover me. But I have a lung injury that you and I both know that we've been dealing with. But they went in, my top part of my lung blew out, and they took out about a liter or so of stuff. But the nice thing is, I'm in the hospital talking and breathing and all this other stuff, and the doctors here are working with me, and we are doing a thing where we all whole protein, I'm on an all whole protein diet with vegetables and no sugar and high fat.
Perfect.
Okay. And so,
when you say protein, what sources of protein? You're talking about eggs?
Well, egg would be good. I haven't had any eggs yet.
Well, that's what contains choline. And actually, eggs may be the perfect source of protein, the very best one of all time.
Okay, let me put this down.
Yeah, you'll never remember the word egg after I get off the phone, will you?
Yeah, I will, because I have a notepad right in front of me.
Cool.
I'm writing this down. Well, if I was going to get eggs, I would have to come from outside, but I'm allowed outside source. Anybody wants to bring any food in?
Oh, I'm telling you, the hospital doesn't know this, but there is an egg dealer, kind of a shady character, but he goes straight to the hen house, he gets the eggs, and he has
a dark
overcoat, so if you'll send, just ask for Joe.
All right.
He's the egg dealer.
Yeah, I would love to have some eggs. I know lots of friends out there that have eggs, chickens. You know, I figure some boiled eggs would be good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've been doing bone broth soups. I have some wonderful friends so I'm doing that. And I have a friend of mine she brought over some fresh goat's milk the other day. And so yogurt.
Wow, they must really love you.
Here I am in a hospital, and, you know, I don't have, and they take, so, I've been here for a little while. Mm-hmm. So they've taken me off all the other, you know, like the beta blockers and all that other stuff, because they had to make sure, like, I was going to stay alive for a while.
Then, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So
they want you to live, so they took you off those drugs. Keep going.
Now they had to make, so then, you know, once all this, you know, so my lung doctor comes in, because before the surgery, you know, I talked to him and, you know, let him know that, you know, if I survive all this, then can we work together on this? And he's like, oh yeah, absolutely, because he's for it.
They didn't say it's my way or the highway, right?
Well, this particular man believes that if you do not have good fat in your body, then you're a goner. So
he probably listens to this program. That's probably the truth right there.
It might possibly be. Might even be a brother of yours. You have a brother. No. But
yeah, the smarter one.
Oh, okay. No wonder he's the surgeon.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
So what, I'm just going to be quiet, I guess, and just let you just tell me, because he was also, one more other thing, because I've been on antibiotics for a long time. So I've killed all the beneficial microbes.
Yeah, well, that might be order of business number one.
That was order of business number one with him, is to do that.
Is you've got to be able to replenish some of the good bacteria, because that's what changes everything. And actually, a lot of the compounds that your lung needs to repair are going to come from those beneficial microbes. So
yes.
Probiotics are going to be excellent. But let me give you a little caveat here.
Okay.
There are some foods in nature that tend to be a mucus-forming food.
Okay.
And everybody has a set of strengths and weaknesses, like we've talked about before, but you might want to steer clear of sources of protein that are mucus-forming. So if it was goat milk and goat yogurt, mm-hmm. I don't know that I have a problem with that, but if it was going to be homogenized, pasteurized cow's milk...
No, sir, I'm not going to have any of that brought in here.
Yeah, you're just going to stay clear of that, aren't you?
Yeah, because I can get that any day.
Well, but I don't want to have a thick layer of gunk and mucus build up in your lungs, your sinuses, or throat.
Well, see, I don't have any of that right now, and I've had it for
a
long
time. Well, then you don't want to add to the equation with more mucus then.
No, because I have right now, see, I have a pinhole in my lung that we're trying to fix.
Well, is it draining?
Yes. Oh, yeah, I'm on a drain pump.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why I just mentioned a while ago, when you have a surgical procedure, what do you want? You want vitamin C.
Okay.
Because vitamin C is going to increase the repair of the connective tissue or the collagen that your lung is made of.
Mm-hmm.
And you sure need that right now. But so, let's talk about the sources of protein.
Okay.
And I just want to make this real simple, nothing high tech. If your friends bring you bone broth,
yes.
That's going to be protein that you can use easily. It's going to be the rich in collagen. That's all the building material that your lung needs right there.
Yes.
But I would probably err on the side of eating eggs.
Okay. Well, that'd be great.
Do you like grass-fed beef?
Yes.
Do they ever bring guns in the hospital to force you to eat steak against your will?
No, but I tell you what, I'm craving a ribeye.
Well, if you had even just a few bites of a ribeye, if it's not juicy enough, I'm probably going to tell you to add butter to it.
I would.
Because butter or fat is going to be the basis of absorption of proteins. So avocados are going to be good.
Had one this morning.
Wouldn't that be something if somebody took a whole chicken and they, with, you know, not the antibiotic-induced chickens at the store, but just a regular yard bird, and they put that in a Dutch oven complete with onions around there. Of course, always think with the lungs, you want onions, onions, onions.
Yeah, see, I've had no onions. I would love some onions.
Well,
I'm craving onions.
Maybe your brothers and sisters won't greet you with a holy kiss if you eat them, but
healing
is probably more important right now, right?
Yeah, I've been through this.
So, yeah, if they baked a whole chicken in the oven, they just piled the onions around it, and it kind of made its own, some people call it onion gravy. Mm-hmm. I just think they taste divine. You could make a meal out of that. But I want you eating that crispy skin on the chicken.
Okay.
That's what your lung tissue's made of, all that rich collagen.
Gotcha.
Wouldn't that be horrible, though, going, oh, great, I've got to eat this?
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, I got to where I couldn't eat barely anything, and so mostly what I existed on was bone broth soups.
Well, I would probably be a fan of you getting a good, clean source of either Celtic salt or Himalayan salt.
I have
or,
it right in front of me.
That is probably... Are you almost... I bet you anything you're craving the stuff, aren't you?
I was... One day, the nursing staff said, this woman woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning and said, I'm hungry. And she said, she hasn't quit eating. She hasn't quit eating. And I already had it. My sister came and put a bunch of stuff in the refrigerator for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept eating. And they were like, and I'd eat everything that a hospital would give me. And I'm in the heart hospital, so it was heart diet. And I'd eat all that, and then I would just continue to eat. And they were like, they came in and they were like, what are you doing? Are you hungry? And I said, right now. She said, what would you like? And I said, ribs. I said I would like a beef. And I just kept naming off all this stuff. And they were like looking at me like, okay.
Like, ma'am, don't you know that we're on low?
They were like laughing,
good.
You know?
Yeah, I know, but your body is telling you what it needs. And so a ribeye steak with onions on the side and avocado.
Yeah.
You'd be hard to do. You wouldn't do bad with that.
Okay.
But the main thing is you've just got to avoid grains like the plague or sugar like the plague because that's going to interfere.
I'm on a no-grain, no-sugar diet.
Oh, and see, that's easy. I mean, what does somebody have to do? They walk in your room and they are holding an avocado.
That's right.
Is that really called contraband?
No. Well, see, all the hospital has allowed for people to bring me in food.
If I had a baby that was 6 months old and the person said, well, my baby's trying to grab for my food when I hold the baby, when I eat, I'm going, well, probably the baby's ready for, you know, some real food now.
Right.
What do you think I would tell him was the top three or four foods to feed him? I'd say, all right, number one, it's got to be egg yolks. If you tell me that you have a griddle going on the stove and I cracked an egg open on top mm-hmm. of it, I would let that be a little bit liquidy, and I'd put it in front of the baby, and the baby would devour everybody. I've never seen anything to the contrary. Babies devour egg yolks, but it's rich in all those nutrients they need to grow a good, healthy nervous system and have a brain.
Right.
We probably need a few more Americans with stronger brains. Anyway, getting off that topic now.
Yes, no doubt.
But then number two, I would say an avocado. It's like perfect baby food or food for healing.
Oh, yes.
Number three, now, maybe not so much for you, but if you had a clean banana, I'd make it half butter, half banana, mash it up, and let the kids eat it.
I don't know how to get a clean banana.
Well, never mind. Scratch that talk. How about a sweet potato with butter on it?
Yes. They have sweet potatoes here at the hospital, so that's why I order.
Okay.
Order sweet potatoes.
You can't go wrong. The other thing that I would do, this is just kind of me. I'm being a little bit philosophical about this. If I had a major procedure on my lung, oh boy, I would be taking vitamin C right now.
How much vitamin C would you take if it was your lung?
Well, let me say it this way. There was an experiment done recently with rats. I am not trying to compare you or me or anybody else to a rat. Rats are mammals,
hey,
but they're not
I'm
human
glad
beings.
I'm glad that you're not doing the experiment on me, okay?
Well, that's all right if we'd use rats.
Right.
But what they did was they tried to give them 3 milligrams of vitamin C for every gram that they weighed or something like that. And anyway, it was about the equivalent of 200 milligrams for a human being or something like that. If I get the numbers wrong,
okay.
Please forgive me. But what I'm saying is they really didn't give them that much vitamin C.
Okay.
And what they noticed is the male rats were about 39.6 more productive as far as work and play. And I thought to myself, all these wives that come home from work in the evening or their husband comes home and he just sits in a chair and has nothing in reserve, I thought, if he were 40% more active, would that be noticeable? I'm going, yes.
Yeah.
So it's just very interesting. These rats became more productive. But what they did was they injected these rats with viruses that caused influenza, and they wanted to see, well, what happens if we give them a little bit of vitamin C? And they showed that the rats that had the vitamin C, they were over it in 3.2 days.
Amazing.
Well, compared to the other ones that died and didn't recover,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good deal. Vitamin C is probably, we don't give it near enough credit. But trying to answer your question, I'm a huge fan of what's called whole food vitamin C, meaning the vitamin C they've extracted from a plant. Because I can tell you the vast majority of all vitamin C is made, the starting point is high fructose corn syrup. They take sulfuric acid and they chemically react it with the high fructose corn syrup. And then, bingo, you have what's called ascorbic acid. Well, I don't know that that's exactly the same as vitamin C, but if I were in a POW camp and somebody gave me ascorbic acid, I would
take it.
But... yeah. But in the real world, you have choices. And the whole food vitamin C, you can probably look on the label. It may say it comes from Camu Camu. Or have you ever heard of acerola cherries?
No, but I've heard...
Well, then you don't have a cherry tree right there in your hospital room, do you?
Don't. I wish I did.
But you could pick the cherries if they were right. But acerola cherries would be a good source. Buckwheat can be a good source, but they'll say on the label.
Yeah.
The company that I get my vitamin C from,
yeah,
it's made from organic oranges.
Excellent.
And, of course, they have a bunch of other stuff. Now, to get the... If you took about 3 or 4 or 5 of these vitamin C pills a day, they're just 400 milligrams... that would be sufficient to saturate your blood with enough vitamin C where your body could actually get some really important rebuilding done.
Yeah.
And bolstering of immune function, which your immune system is supposed to be kicked into high gear right now if you blew out the top of your lung and now that it's got a repair. But I can see this pinhole completely going away just with vitamin C alone.
And I can see hopefully somebody bringing me some more vitamin C because I just took my last one and I've got some at my house.
I have another option for you.
What?
You can eat 6 organic oranges and 6 kiwis every 6 hours and get the same effect.
Okay, well.
That's true, but I'm kind of joking because I seriously doubt you're going to eat 6 kiwis.
I don't know. When I finally got like something real right in front of me, I devoured it like so fast. I was like.
Well, your body was needing that.
You know, you see those like starving dogs or something on the side of the road. It was like, it was gone. Like looked up at me and said, "Dink."
You know what? I always feel like stopping and buying food for starving dogs.
You're a good man.
Well, I don't know if I would go that far. It's probably my wife saying, "You are going to stop right here at Dollar General, and we're going to get food for those dogs and puppies right now." Yes, dear. Yes, darling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, but I would focus on that. And if somebody, you know, and that would be easy. You can even go to the store right now, and you can get a bag of organic oranges.
Yes.
And you can get a bag. Well, I started to say a bag. I've never seen them in a bag, but kiwis,
They
already are sealed. Perfect, just like oranges.
I know it.
You can take a spoon, scrape those suckers to pieces, eat them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this plan. It can work.
Good.
So we're going to install a griddle right there on your hospital bed, right?
No. I can't do a griddle. The only way that I could get...
Is that because of maybe they're not fire-retardant sheets? Is that it?
Yeah, no cooking allowed in here. So any food that like, comes to me can be done.
Well, how are they going to find out? If you're cooking bacon and eggs, how are they going to know?
I know it, huh?
but
like any eggs that come my way, I'll have to consume them like it is a boiled egg. But well, I figure, hey, you know what? Yeah. A boiled egg is better than no egg.
Are you kidding? A boiled egg is excellent.
And also, it's very easy for people to bring me eggs.
I want to live on the edge. And I would have no trouble sneaking boiled eggs. Now, when I sneak them in, would you rather me keep them in my pockets or place them under my arm?
No, I'd like to see you sneak in a fried egg.
A fried egg?
Because...
You mean while it's still hot?
Yeah.
Oh, I could do that, I guarantee you.
Oh, that's cool.
I guarantee you, if we went to... You know how when you go to the movies, they say no outside food?
Yeah.
Quite frequently, I see how far I can push that. Because if I go to the movies once a year, I'm thinking... Not only am I going to sneak it in there, but I'm going to cook my eggs and bacon in the theater just to show them that I can do it.
Oh, you're funny.
But I like that because I'm thinking, Ruth, hide the eggs and bacon because here comes the attendant. No, sir, I don't know who's cooking eggs and bacon in here. I just sat down. I saw a stranger. He was wearing a pink outfit, and I saw him head for the exit. Go look for him.
Yeah, right.
Those guys are like the Gestapo. Papers, please. Do you have outside food? You know that happened to us one time?
Really?
My wife was pregnant, and of course, my interpretation is I want her drinking clean, clean water, not the other junk.
Yes, I'm asking people to bring me clean water, like bring me just a...
But the manager of the theater came in and said, "Where'd this water come from?" I said, "My wife is pregnant. I'm certain this is clean water." She said, "You can't have it." I said, "Really? Really?" My wife just nearly lost it. Anyway, I shouldn't talk about that today.
I think that's hilarious.
I am in a happy place right now. I'm going to continue trying to bless others. But you need plenty of clean water. Keep up with your salt.
And
I would probably, if it were me, I would probably take a little bit of lemon juice and squeeze it in that clean water.
Yeah.
I want all the benefits that, that God has given us, but you need oil right now. So I'm thinking a smoothie. Oil. If we had a smoothie, can you put a blender near your bed?
I can't. I'm not going to. No, I don't make anything in here.
Well, this is disappointing. I mean, how are they going to tell the difference between a blender and a defibrillator? I don't even know how they could do that.
I don't know.
Because they're probably thinking, oh, that's just a defibrillator going off. It's not a blender in the bedroom.
Yeah.
If somebody blended up a smoothie for you, this would be very, very rich in all those good nutritional phytochemicals that you need.
Yes.
But all your friends, they could easily pour olive oil directly into it.
Yes.
And all you're not going to taste the olive oil. It's just going to make the smoothie even better.
So the olive oil and coconut
maybe,
oil.
Yeah.
And
maybe they could put some chia seeds in there also.
Chia seeds.
Chia. Just like a chia pet.
Yes. Oh, okay.
The rage of the 1970s. Everybody wanted chia pet.
Oh, okay. That's right, didn't they?
Yeah, well, yeah. Terracotta gopher or whatever with hair on it. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anyway, this is the deal, and
well, good. I want you to get well quick.
All right, and thank you very much.
Your phone call. You know what? Your voice sounds only a million times better. I'm very pleased.
I know, doesn't it? It is amazing.
I didn't realize that it could actually sound this clear. I mean, don't tell Donna I said that.
Oh, okay,
I don't want her to be offended. But
tell her that.
But I'm glad that the voice sounds the best that I've ever heard of. This is a good thing.
This is a good thing.
You just need to go ahead and heal because you've got the world in front of you, and God has a purpose for you, and you need to do that.
All over this, brother.
Let me ask you a question before you go.
Okay.
If you actually feel like $1 million and you heal and you're able to resolve this lung issue, what are you going to do with your life?
Whatever the Lord tells me.
Okay.
To.
Good answer.
All right.
I really appreciate your call today.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Okay. If you want to join me on the radio this morning, 903-586-5257. See, that's probably the reason I'm so happy all the time is because I had a very good childhood. Thanks, Mom. If you want to join me on the air, there is a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. If nobody wants to call, I get to go talk about what I want to talk about then. So I'm giving you an opportunity right now. Anyway. Okay, let me read this to you. I know this is not one of the points that I tried to make earlier. Is if somebody goes to a doctor and they do a standard lab test, like a lipid profile, and they show the cholesterol is elevated, maybe a different interpretation is that the liver is just not as healthy as it should be. I'm not trying to be negative. Let me read this to you right here. Heart disease is the leading cause of death in the U.S. To reduce the danger of strokes and heart attacks, statin drugs, i.e. Lipitor, Zocor, Crestor, statins. They are prescribed to lower the high LDL cholesterol and reduce calcification of the coronary arteries, among other reasons. I know I'm kind of interjecting here, but Lipitor doesn't do anything to remove calcification. Vitamin C does, and vitamin K do. Okay. A new study examines some mechanisms by which statins may actually promote calcification of the arteries. Did you hear that? A new study examines some mechanisms by which statins, the very drugs that are prescribed for the heart and the arteries, may actually promote calcification of the arteries. If you don't know what that means, calcification of the arteries is bad. That is disease. That is not rejuvenation and healing. Statins can be toxic to the mitochondria, which this is where all energy production takes place within the human cell, and can inhibit the synthesis of important nutrients such as coenzyme Q10 and vitamin K2. This results in the impairment of the heart and blood vessels' muscle function and can lead to calcification. Of course it does. When's the last time a doctor's told you, I want to prescribe Lipitor, but it's going to calcify your arteries? You're going to have plaque build up in your brain and develop dementia, and yes, you'll develop cancer eventually because of that. No, I don't think I've ever heard that. It's like, I've never heard of somebody having a problem with a statin drug. It's the greatest invention since the wheel, or peanut butter and jelly, or sliced bread. Statins also have other negative side effects such as brain fog, muscle pain, but the biggest concern by far is a possibility that they may actually promote heart attacks and other coronary events. Heart failure and atherosclerosis are epidemic, and statins are one of the most commonly prescribed drugs to prevent them. What a tragic irony it would be if these drugs actually serve to aggravate the very problem they're trying to prevent. That's what this study is saying. It's true. I know the truth can hurt sometime, or maybe all the time. It's different than what you think it should be. The authors of this new study propose that statin treatment guidelines be seriously reevaluated. I'm pretty sure the drug companies did not fund this study, my friends. If you want to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open, and if you call, I will take your call, and you can ask me whatever questions you want. And if the question happens to be about health, especially how to rejuvenate the body, even better. I love that topic. And since I'm driving this bus this morning here at the radio station, I get to talk about whatever I want to talk about. But if you want to improve yourself, maybe that's the question this morning. Why are people interested in natural health? Because it heals. Why are people less interested in drugs? Because they don't heal. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
How are you today? Yeah. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Fine. I'm Whitney Hogan, and I have acute pancreatitis.
Mm-hmm.
Due to a birth defect.
Did you say a birth defect?
Yeah.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, what is the birth defect that's led to pancreatitis?
The larger duct in my pancreas, is it attached to it?
Well, how old are you right now?
21.
Have you had this problem or issue your entire life?
No. I've only had it since I was 21 due to the birth defect, which I've had since I was born.
Well, but the birth defect functioned flawlessly prior to the age 21, didn't it?
Yeah.
So that's what I want you to focus on. We have to focus on what we can do. I know that maybe they're going to blame the birth defect, and there's probably a lot of truth to that, but we want to find a way to resolve this. I can tell you, the highest occurrence of pancreatitis is always going to be with sugar consumption or grain consumption. I would encourage you to do just like I told the lady earlier. I wouldn't even eat sugars and starches, except if they were natural. If you told me that you wanted green beans with butter or an avocado, I would say perfect. If you told me you wanted a sweet potato with a little bit of butter on it, I'd say perfect. But I would not eat any grains or refined sugars if my very life, or as if my life, depended on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Has anyone told you that information before?
Yes. Not about the grain and sugars, but...
Well, grains convert into sugar very easily. And so the number one thing that generates inflammation within the pancreas is going to be the amount of sugar and starch that a person consumes. So if that's the first time you've heard that, we want to give the pancreas a break and let it rest. And so it...
I was told this stuff about fat in the potatoes, but not the sugar.
No, the potato itself doesn't contain fat, but I understand where you're coming from. When you eat a potato that's very, very high in starch or sugars, your body has no choice but to convert it into fat for storage, and that's what clogs up the pancreas and the liver. So that's the very thing I was talking about earlier. It's a disease called NASH, non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. But you have a diagnosis of pancreatitis, so we want to reverse that. And the way that we reverse that is by giving your pancreas a rest from eating all these foods that generate massive amounts of inflammation and swelling. That's called grains and refined carbohydrates or sugars.
Okay.
So you can turn this around, Lord willing.
Yeah.
I mean, do you actually have a big honking stone stuck in your bile duct? Because that would be a medical emergency.
No.
Well, what would you like to see happen? What do you want to do? What would make you happy?
I just really wasn't certain what to do past the fats and starch.
Well, lay off the starch. The safest starch that I know of is going to be a sweet potato.
Okay.
That's the safest form of starch that I know of, a sweet potato.
Okay.
You mean any physicians you've been to, they haven't talked to you about what to eat to change your pancreas?
Not really, past the fats and...
Well, what do they say? What do they say about fats?
Basically, cut back on them because they were a big aggravator to it.
Well, I mean, they're right. If you eat French fries that are fried in soybean oil, yes, that will aggravate your situation. If you try to go to the store and eat a Pop-Tart that's fried in corn oil, yes, that's a type of oil that will aggravate the situation. But in the real world, God has designed foods for us that are very rich in fat that could be very, very helpful to your situation. One example could be an avocado. You ever heard of avocados before?
Yeah, and I've eaten a few at a restaurant that my parents have gone to.
And that is a very good starting point. Maybe the main point that I would make, even if a person were to eat an avocado that's like in your similar situation, that would not cover if you're eating grains and starches because your pancreas is already having a very hard time. It's very sick and inflamed. And so if it were me, I would probably do castor oil packs over the pancreas every day. If the sun came out, I would lift up my shirt if I had privacy and let the radiant energy of the sun strike over the middle part of your abdomen to try to benefit your pancreas. The other things that I would look at easily, I mean, this is like really easy stuff to talk about. There are compounds called resveratrol and quercetin and hesperidin. They rid the body of inflammation within the pancreas. Vitamin D3, vitamin K2, vitamin C, they will help modulate and decrease inflammation within the pancreas. My interpretation from the mineral kingdom is there's always a magnesium deficiency when it comes to pancreatitis. And magnesium, when it's given, it helps get rid of inflammation of the pancreas. Zinc is another major, major, major player. But if anybody has a deficiency of these, they're probably going to be craving more sugars and don't realize that sugars are what are causing all the problem right now. What you want to do is you want to start feeling very good, because when people feel good, you can't hold them back. They get up and they go for walks and they work in the garden and they do their projects and they go shopping and they go to the bookstore and they go and visit people and they say, hey, let's go play some volleyball or let's go climb a tree. Maybe that's not the best example, climb a tree. you know what I mean. They just get out and they do stuff.
Yeah.
So that's probably the first thing, is we want to help you start feeling better so you can start developing some confidence that you can be okay. But it's just, I would be remiss if we didn't talk about rejuvenation. So you've got to be able to get rid of the swelling. And so not eating grains is going to give your pancreas the greatest vacation of its life. Your pancreas did just fine for the first 20 years.
Yeah.
Why can't we just restore it back to the way it used to work instead of saying it's a genetic defect? Yes, you may have a very narrow duct or you may have a restriction, but inflammation can do that also.
Okay.
I see it all. You know what? I'm an easy sell on this. So if a patient comes to me and says, I have severe pancreatitis, my doctor says it's a genetic defect. I said, really, how old are you? Well, I'm 75. Well, when did it develop? When I was 74 and 7/8. I'm going, well, we can't blame genetics on it. Oh, no. They said it's a genetic. But when they heal and it's very quiet and it doesn't give off any symptoms and the pancreas functions flawlessly, well, how could you argue with that? That's called healing and repair. So you've got pancreatic enzymes. All these things can work. Choline, choline, choline. You want to get rid of pancreatitis? Choline. You don't drink a pint of whiskey every day, do you?
No.
I didn't think you did. So you're asking, everything you're asking is super duper reasonable. Hey, I'm your biggest fan already. Just go ahead and do these things and get well. Prove that I'm right and correct.
Okay.
What have I told you that sounds too hard? Giving up the sugar. That's the hardest thing, right?
Basically.
But if you do, your fortunes will change. They will turn on a dime. You know what? I could care less what anybody else says. All I care about is you right now. And this would be very, very exciting and encouraging. Could you imagine what kind of story you have to tell? You could tell all your friends when they say, oh my goodness, how did you heal? How did you overcome it? What kind of drugs they gave you? And then you say, well, they gave me drugs, but they really didn't lead to healing. So I talked to this very, very interesting gentleman on the radio named Dr. Morgan. And he told me that I should eat foods that contain fat, like egg yolks. And I should eat onions dripping in butter. And I should have sweet potatoes with butter. And avocados. And if I have broccoli, which is high in sulfur, which is what your pancreas needs, maybe I should do that. And he told me to sunbathe and do castor oil packs. And he told me all about supplements that will get rid of inflammation of the pancreas. But he told me most of all, if I lay off the sugar and the grains, then healing will take place. So your mom can make you fajitas today. You can still go to the Mexican food restaurant. Have the guacamole. Just don't use chips to eat it with. Eat it with a fork.
Okay.
I know that sounds bizarre, but do you want to live?
Yes.
Yeah. I do too. It's fun feeling good because when you feel good, you're capable of incredible levels of productivity. Unless your life goal is to play video games all day long. That's not your life goal or purpose, is it?
No, it's not.
So if you're convicted that sugar is what's caused this, man, give me a week. You'll have a fabulous turnaround. Actually, give yourself a week. What do you want to do with your life? What would you like to do if you felt really, really good right now?
I'm just pretty much going for whatever God wants me to do.
Well, what do you think he wants you to do? Does he want you to have a family and to have children? I would say yes. He told us to be fruitful and multiply. Do you have a gorgeous, beautiful hunk of a man in your life?
I'm not married.
Well, I know, but if God provides a man for you that's going to love and cherish you, wouldn't that be fabulous?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if your pancreas is in good shape, then you're good to go.
Okay.
And there may be some work that you're really excited about. I want you to do that. Well, I will be glad to help you any way possible, but I'm not going to be the one that limits you on healing. You can do anything that you want, sister. If you want to heal, nobody's stopping you. What you need is you need information, and you need precise information. So I'm going to suggest to you that you've already done my job for me. You've explained that you have a weakness within your biliary tree and your pancreatic ducts and the pancreas. Why don't we focus on your weakness and restore it? Has anybody ever told you about protomorphogen compounds that actually heal the pancreas?
No.
Except me?
Yeah, except for you.
So everything that you want is very, very reasonable and doable. I have no fault with it. I'm very proud of you. You took a risk this morning. You said, this is what's going on. I'm proud of people that take risks. That's great. But you let me know any way I can serve you. I want to be a good servant to you. I'm your semi-humble servant. But thank you for your phone call. We're all out of time.
Okay.
Have a good day, and I wish you the best, man. Bye-bye.
You too.
All right. You're listening to KBJS FM 90.3 Jacksonville Tire Longview.